On today's episode, we're talking markets, an alleged $49 million cyber theft, crypto liquidity, and VeChain's November rally. It's November 27th, 2019, and you're listening to Markets Daily. I'm Adam B. Levine, editor of podcasts here at CoinDesk, along with our senior markets reporter, Brad Cowan, to give you a concise daily briefing on crypto markets and some of the most important news developments in the sector over the past 24 hours. Bitcoin is up about 2.5% over the last 24 hours to $7,245, but still down more than $2,000 following that big sell-off we've seen over the past 2 weeks. Ether is up 2.2% to $148, and XRP from Ripple is up 2.3% to 21.6 cents. In traditional markets, Standard & Poor's 500 future are little changed, while the 10-year Treasury bond yield is up 3 basis points to 1.77%. Gold is down 0.4% to 1,454 an ounce. The dollar is up slightly versus the euro and Japanese yen. Brad, tell us what we're seeing in the Bitcoin market and about this reported $49 million theft from a South Korean crypto exchange.
Well, as you say, Adam, Bitcoin as we speak is staging a little bit of a rally. It's up for the third day in a row after dipping earlier in trading hours today below that psychological level of $7,000. It should be said that even with this rebound, as you say, the market is still pretty anemic and indecisive, and the price of this volatile asset remains down more than $2,000 in just a few weeks. Now, the big news today in the crypto industry is that the South Korean exchange Upbit has apparently been hit by a theft of some 342,000 Ether worth some $49 million. CoinDesk's Wolfie Zhao reports, citing transaction tracker Whale Alert, that the massive Ether haul was transferred to an unknown address around 4 a.m. coordinated universal time on Wednesday, about 1 p.m. in Seoul. About 30 minutes later, Upbit announced that it had temporarily suspended withdrawals and deposits, quote, due to server maintenance. Several hours later, Upbit's CEO reported the abnormal transaction in a blog post. And in a notice on the exchange's website, officials apologized for the inconvenience and said that all crypto assets had been transferred to cold storage or offline to prevent further losses. The exchange said investors wouldn't lose their assets and the costs would be covered by the company. The exchange also published the anonymous address where the Ether supposedly went and asked for the crypto community's support in blocking any transfers from that address. According to CoinDesk Zhao, Upbit estimates it could take at least 2 weeks for services to get back to normal. As discussed earlier, Adam, the crypto markets appear to be shaking off this latest setback, but it serves as a reminder of how prone these exchanges can be, both to technological gaffes and cybersecurity risks, and how costly they can be. To put this latest news into perspective, that $49 million apparent heist is roughly on par with the amount of money that Upbit's operator and parent company, Dunamu, invested in startup companies over the course of an entire year. Another potential ramification is that the amount of money is so large it can simply become another black eye for the crypto industry, already rife with examples of costly technological breakdowns, fraud, cyber theft, and simple human error. Back to you, Adam.
For today's featured story, we're pleased to welcome Noelle Acheson, head of CoinDesk Research, for some insight into crypto market liquidity.
You know, Adam, one of the things I find most fascinating about this sector is how different crypto markets are from traditional markets. And the concept of liquidity is no exception. It's a slippery concept in that it's hard to define, even in the traditional applications. We often conflate it with volume, and it's not the same thing at all. You can have assets with high volume but low liquidity. Also, we often think of it as something binary. An asset is liquid or it's not. And that's also wrong. Zooming out, what actually do we mean by liquidity? Technically, an asset, we're talking a crypto token or a stock, is liquid if you can buy or sell a large quantity without moving the price against you. But there's no standard definition of what large quantity is, and any asset, no matter how much trading value it has, no matter how robust the order book, any asset can be moved if a large enough order comes in. So liquidity is a relative concept, not an absolute concept, as most of us think. Now, why is liquidity even more complicated in crypto markets than traditional markets? for various reasons, most of them to do with the rather unique structure of crypto markets. First of all, crypto markets are very fragmented. They started retail, as you know, and that has led to a plethora of different exchanges across different regions. The trading in traditional assets is much more concentrated. But with crypto assets, there are many exchanges trading very similar assets, and this spreads the volume that there is across more exchanges. Although this is starting to change, the broker that we have in traditional markets is not yet an established figure in crypto trading. In stocks, for instance, you place your order with a broker who will then fulfill it by either, you know, filling the order or offloading your order across the exchanges that are necessary. But in crypto, you have to do that work yourself. You have to fund accounts at each exchange you want to work with, and then you have to go around sourcing the order. So it's thinner just from that point of view. Whatever volume there is, which again, as we know, compared to traditional assets, is not that much, it's spread across a wider range of venues, and you don't have any one entity, such as a broker, helping you out in sourcing your needs there. On the institutional front, you do have some prime brokers that are emerging, but it's still an emerging feature. Also, in the crypto markets, you have an unusual role of OTC desks. This is not exactly transparent. No one's sure how much volume the OTC desks move, but most estimates put it at significantly higher than exchange volumes. So that means you have huge pools of liquidity about which we have very little information. Another structural difference in crypto markets that you don't have as much in traditional markets is the lack of credit. Credit is a fundamental concept in liquidity in traditional markets. You put up a certain amount of money, you can trade with orders of magnitude more, and that does help liquidity. That does keep the money, even if it is credited money, leveraged money, it does keep it sloshing around the system. With crypto, you don't really have that. In derivatives, you do. But in the spot markets, you don't. There are some exchanges that will offer trading on margin, but they're few, and the margin is not nearly as generous as you would see in, for instance, the FX markets, where you can trade on up to 400 times liquidity. I've seen some. And finally, another structural anomaly in crypto markets, for want of a better word, is stablecoins. You don't have this in other markets. Stablecoins are crypto tokens that are pegged to a value such as $1. Tether is the example that is the stablecoin that is most used in markets. And in fact, stablecoins account for most crypto trading volume. This is something that people don't understand the unique nature of this particular vehicle. This means that, yes, dollars do back these stablecoins, but you can move money around so much faster. This slightly overcomes the barriers that we talked about, where you have lots of different exchanges and you have to be able to trade on many to really reach that kind of liquidity. With stablecoins, you can move the money around so much faster and so much easier and at a much lower cost. That is a boost to crypto trading liquidity. When you take into account that most trading is now done using stablecoins as opposed to using the dollar, then we also have to bear in mind that crypto markets depend really on stablecoins now for a large part of their liquidity. That is an unusual feature which could, one, help, but also, two, perhaps add a vulnerability that you wouldn't see anywhere else.
Well, thank you very much, Noel. And now for our altcoin spotlight, Brad's been looking into VeChain.
Thanks, Adam. Today, we're looking at VeChain. It's probably not one of the coins we typically highlight, but we're looking at it this month because it's up 59% in November, one of the month's best performers. And of course, contrasting with Bitcoin's decline during the month. This is a Chinese company. It started blockchain development in 2015, and then the blockchain itself and the VeChain token went live last year. The market cap currently about $349 million, making it the 23rd largest cryptocurrency ranked by the data firm Messari. Now, VeChain's performance also contrasts with that of several of the Chinese digital coins, which have been hit hard, as we highlighted previously. One thing that might be helping to differentiate VeChain is its explicit focus on blockchain use cases or real-world applications that could benefit from faster and more efficient technologies. In June, CoinDesk reported that Walmart China has used the system to address food safety concerns in the country, while the big automakers BMW and Renault reportedly are using the system to track products through their manufacturing lifecycle. Another differentiator for VeChain is that it uses a different form of permissioned consensus. This is the means by which transactions are confirmed on the blockchain. Specifically, V uses what's called the proof of authority mechanism, contrasted with the proof of work system used by Bitcoin. Now, it should be said, Adam, that VeChain's market cap, while in the hundreds of millions of dollars, still is essentially on the scale of a small cap stock in the United States, which means that this particular coin is subject to not only extreme volatility, but that prices could be pushed around in the market and it wouldn't take a lot of money. Furthermore, some Bitcoin proponents say many of these altcoins only really have value because of the marketing efforts and expenses of the companies that are backing them, helping them to gain brand recognition, even though blockchains and tokens are pretty simple to create from the ground up. The takeaway here is that the crypto market appears to be revealing some winners along with the losers from China's recent crackdown. Back to you, Adam.
Thanks for listening to Markets Daily. We'll be back on Monday, December 2nd with our next episode. If you have any questions, comments, or thoughts about our show so far, send an email to podcast@coindesk.com. And happy holidays to all of you celebrating.